Alright guys, welcome to the Media Hijack Podcast. I'm your host, Billy Walters, and joining me is Chris Unholy Jesus.
Hey, what's up everyone? Welcome back.
Welcome back guys to another episode of the Media Hijack Podcast. This is episode 163. We're streaming live from kick.com. Yes. For the first time ever. Coming from Twitch TV, which is it wasn't a difficult transition. Basically everything was about the same. Get the stream key, put the stream key in, and then boom, we're streaming on Kick now.
Okay.
The only thing is, I don't know about like the notifications, like if somebody follows. I didn't set that up yet, so that's I don't know how to do that yet.
Learn as we go.
All right. So since this is our first episode on Kick, we're going to be talking about Peruvian jungle aliens. You know about this story?
Hell no.
It's actually like a story that was like it got viral on TikTok and YouTube in like July, August. Like they had these Peruvians chase down like these alien entities where everybody had flashlights on them, and you know they're like floating through the sky and shit, like fucking Silver Surfer. So like that video, it caught like a lot of wind, and you know, and the media, they took that story and they said it was all fake. It was people on jetpacks, and it killed that story.
What?
And I told Bob about this. I said, hey, you know this Peruvian aliens out there? Like, I think that's a legit story, because there's a lot of shit. Because those guys, you know, like they're not unsophisticated. Like they still had like they have technology. Like you know they use cell phones and stuff. Like they watch YouTube and twerking videos. Like they're not like in the jungle Peru. Like they're still in the jungle Peru, but not like where they don't, you know, have access to technology. Like they watch movies like E.T. just like us. They know what a jetpack look like.
Alright.
So they're just not like a you know, like jungle people, just you know, like they don't know about, oh, they could be jetpacks.
So they're pretty much aware of certain technologies and stuff.
Yeah, they're definitely aware of like technology. That's why like when these aliens were flying through the sky, like it was a big deal out there. So that's gonna be my topic for the night. Chris, what you got for us?
I got a topic about this cult back in the 20s and 30s tried to raise an immortal baby. They try to create an immortal like being out of scratch, and they used another child to do it. So it's crazy as hell. Got a story about that and a couple small news around the world.
Like raise a baby that's already like invincible?
No, they're trying to make the baby invincible to eventually become the leader of this cult that they run. So
was it all a scam though?
It sounded like it was. This is when I'll let you know. When I tell the story, you'll see. But it is like some Scamology 101 shit.
Because is there like any like evidence, just like a little bit, of people actually being immortal?
Not that I know of. And my conspiracy brain be thinking like, well, maybe the reason why there's no stories about immortal people walking among Earth or anything is because all the mortal people control everything.
Oh,
and they try to keep it a secret.
Yeah. They're the one causing inflation, and you know,
yeah,
they're the one giving us the music.
Everything.
Damn, could be right, because they live for so long. They know how people think.
Yeah, hell yeah, so you know what I'm saying? They would know how this works better than anybody.
Exactly. It's just like that Thor Netflix show Ragnarok, where like the strongest elite power, like they had control over like the whole village because of their knowledge of the past.
Okay.
They're like vampires, like Twilight, right? They know a lot of shit, so they know how to make money easy, because they're a part of like all of that.
Yeah, because I would think if you're immortal, you rich, straight up, like full stop. If you're immortal and poor, you wasted your immortality, and you haven't learned nothing.
So. Right, you're like just die already, right?
Damn,
if you live for like 600 years, you still don't know how to make money,
right?
You know, or take over a country, or create your own country.
Something, man.
All right, let's get started with this Peruvian jungle alien story. All right, so this man named Tim Alberino, he's a white man. The reason why I say that, because he used to live in Peru, like as I don't know what he was doing out there actually, but he was he was doing like a lot of studies out there, and then he ended up learning how to speak Spanish in this like indigenous part of Peru, and he actually learned like a special type of dialect in Peru. So it's not just like Spanish, it's like Spanish like mixed with like a different, like, you know, dialect. So he was able to understand like the people over there. So like when this story came out like in July with these people in Peru, they recorded like a alien entity being like floating like through the sky, like on these white discs, like under their feet, you know, like the hobgoblin. That's what they describe it, because they had like an elongated head, and then they had full body armor, like black body armor, like floating on like a Silver Surfer type of like disc. And like, what the fuck are these guys, you know, just flying around in the jungle at night? And
looking like a supervillain.
So when I heard that story the first time, I was like, what's more to this? Like, is this just, you know, one of those like publicity stunts, like what other countries are doing or whatever? Right. And then right when I was trying to look up the story a long time ago, because, you know, I wanted to do the story a long time ago, but I couldn't get enough info on it because there wasn't a lot of info on it. Even like the images I'm about to show you guys like later and the videos, I really had to dig in YouTube just to find these. And then it's about like other people actually talking about it. I didn't like in a podcast just like this, and then they show the images, because I think they tried to scrap a lot of the images like from YouTube. I don't know how they're doing it, but like whatever they're posting, it's being like taken down or something. I'm not sure what's going on. Because the people in Peru, right, they have like this legend about these they call them face peelers, which is like, it's like since the 80s had like their own little folklore from the 1980s, and they say like these entities, they would come at night, right, and they would grab you, and then they would literally peel your face off using whatever technology they had, and they call them face peelers.
That's like some Predator type shit. I don't know, the movie The Predator, they used to like skin their prey like to the bone, meat showing and everything, hanging from trees and shit in the jungle.
Yeah, that's this like is like shit. It's like a movie basically. Yeah, so this guy, Tim Alberino, he heard about the story, and with his audience, like he's big on YouTube too, and his audience was like, hey, you should go to Peru and get the story for yourself firsthand. Like instead of hearing it from like the news. Because in Peru, the news said that it was a hoax. They said it was a hoax, and it's just illegal miners on jetpacks that's terrorizing, you know, the jungle people.
Okay, just kind of scare them out the territory, or
yeah, try to scare them out the territory so they don't mess with them. But
Wow, this is like some Scooby-Doo shit, man.
Scooby-Doo
plot, man.
Yeah. Then when he heard that, he was like, it's like, that don't make sense. He's like, I used to live out there. Like if the people, the legal miners, right, even if they were backed up by the cartels and stuff, like by money, why would they equip people with jetpacks to scare people off?
Right.
That's actually making yourself more obvious. Like, hey, we're doing illegal shit here, and we're making it more obvious with a jetpack. Makes no sense, right?
No sense. Calling yourself, that's too loud.
Yeah, like, you know, like, usually cartels, what they do to make people not fuck with them, they have guards with assault rifles. That's all you need.
That's all you need. You don't need all that extra shit.
Put the jetpack away. That's too loud.
Right?
Yeah, you're doing too much.
You're wasting money. You could have spent it on more guns.
Yeah. And yeah, not only that you're wasting money, but you're causing more attention towards us while we're trying to do, like, illegal mining.
Right. It's called you ever heard of the Barbra Streisand effect, or the Streisand effect?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's based off like the actress Barbra Streisand. Back in the day, or whatever, how long it was, there was like some news going around about her and you know, in the media, and nobody knew anything about this story until she said something about it, and that's when it drew all the attention to her. Whoa. So it's called like this. That's where it started from. The Streisand effect is like when you're trying to hide something, and then you do something to cause attention to what you're trying to hide. So it's like, Why would you make all that noise in the first place when nobody was even questioning it or wondering about it, or that we wouldn't even have known about it, these jetpack people, if they didn't do it? So
right,
it makes no sense. You know?
Yeah, that's like the same thing. Barbara Streisand's effect.
Yeah, the Streisand effect. It's like, yeah, you're trying to like, you're trying to cover up something, and you're like, oh shit, I just made it worse by, I'm actually drawing attention to it.
You're right, right. Yeah, like why would the cartels do that? That makes no sense.
I don't know.
So like, after he heard about that story, he did actually went out there like for himself, and then he met up with the, he actually got like special permission with the tribe where, like, they knew who he was. They knew what he was doing out there, like, just to investigate. So they gave him special permission because all the members of the tribes, like, these guys were, they all had, like, shotguns on them. Like, they weren't letting just anybody in their village, you know? And they were all, like, you know, equipped with weapons. And I got a picture of Tim Alberino. Show you guys. Okay. Like, this is when Tim is the dude in the beige and the with the sunglasses on. He looked like a buff Johnny Depp a little bit.
I do.
But he used to live out, like, I guess close to this village or something. And these are the people at the village with all the shotguns. And then what you see, like, down there, like, right next to him, these are, like, night vision goggles. And then, like, other equipment that he came. Like, he didn't come empty-handed. He came with, like, a lot of, like, high-tech equipment, like, to give to the villagers so they can capture, like, these things for themselves, you know? And then on top of that, he came, he brought rice, bread, water, and he brought, like, medication for these people. Like, he didn't come empty-handed. He came, like, he came with a lot of goods, too, like, to help them out, too. Not just to come there and be like, hey, I want your story, tell me everything, and then show me where you see these aliens or whatever.
Okay, yeah, he's like, hey, guys, I'm like, just show, like, I'm here in good faith. I got you some bread.
Yeah, like, he...
Some MBGs and shit.
Yeah, then they made him drink like this alcoholic drink that the women in the village, the way they make it, they would put like the drink in the mouth and let their saliva ferment, you know, the drink to make it alcoholic. Mm. And then he's basically drinking the village saliva and getting drunk.
Damn.
And then they were like, he was like, I would throw up, yeah. And he was like, if you were a gringo, usually they don't drink like the alcoholic drink that the villagers give to them. But if they give it to you and you drink it, man, they praise you like forever.
Oh yeah, you ain't like, good.
Yeah, like you could probably marry any one of them, you know? To be like, yeah, go ahead.
Take my youngest daughter. Like, whoa, she's 8. You got a
contract with your future children. I'm like, whoa, that's a bit much.
I just did a shot, bro.
They're not even born yet, and then you already got first dibs. Yeah, that sounds crazy.
I'm the first in line.
Tim Alberino. But yeah, like, how I found out about all this information, Coast to Coast actually got him on the show, interviewed him, and I was like, holy shit, they hit like a gold mine, because you would not find this dude on YouTube. Just even if you type like Peru, like jungle alien stuff, you wouldn't even come across his channel. Because I think I'm pretty sure he got shadow banned, dude.
Because
you can't find him unless you type in his name. And I was like, holy shit. And then Coast to Coast led me in there. Because I always wondered about that story in Peru. Like, hey, what happened to the alien story? I thought that was pretty, like, legit. Yeah. And they swept everything under the rug. Even the U.S. media, they said, like, oh, yeah, what it actually was, it was actually illegal miners on jetpacks scaring villagers. Like, thinking, like, the villagers are that stupid, you know?
Right.
Like, they're not, they're some not savages, that stupid.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they try, like, sound like they treat them like savages, like, oh, they don't know no better or something. Like, they probably got, like, basic television out there or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah, they got TikTok. They got YouTube and stuff.
Okay, see, they good. They know what's up.
Yeah. So, like, some of the stories, like, what they were telling was, like, the villagers say, like, the way they look like 8 feet tall beings, right? In a full-out armor, and they're floating on like this white disc, like they're floating on a disc, just like Silver Surfer and stuff, and they'll float up in the sky like very easily. And they say they saw one actually get off this disc, right? They said he floated off like the disc, like, and then he floated like onto land, and then walked normally and stuff. But then they said, like, the reason, they said maybe the reason for the disc is for them to fly, like, really fast, like, okay, through the sky. You ever seen that movie, Jupiter Ascending, with Channing Tatum?
Yeah, he got two little things. He got, like, some, it's like disc underneath each foot, right? No, right. It's not like one solid disc. Right. It's like two underneath his feet. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so the idea is like that, like, how they're flying. Okay. It was just, that's like that movie. It. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how the best way I can describe it. They're like, zhoo, zhoo, zhoo. Or like the Hobgoblin from Spider-Man.
Gotcha, gotcha. Now, you described it perfectly, because that was exactly what I was imagining. Like, not a solid disc, just one under each feet, like under a foot.
Yeah, it could be just like that under too. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, then like they were also describing like their spaceship, like their alien spaceship that they saw that I guess was hovering like in the sky. Like they drew a picture of it, and it's like an acorn shaped spaceship. So I was like, okay, so like they really did get visited by, you know, something that's like, I guess, unknown, or something that they just don't understand. Just it's just too far out there, like, for the normal people, especially like if they're like flying through the sky like that. Like, we don't, there's no like technology like that, right? As far like as out like, right now, as far as like doing it like really smooth without being attached to like a big ass air jet engine.
Man, whatever. Not that I know of. I mean, the ones we all seen are ones where, like, you know, the ones that's attached to something and they shoot water jets out or air jets out to stay afloat. But
yeah, that shit looks cool. Yeah, but
it ain't this cool.
There's nothing like sophisticated where you could actually, where it's functional, you know?
Yeah.
Like you're flying around like a drone, functional.
All right. Free, and not, you're not attached to nothing. You're just free.
Yeah. So, like, when he got there, they did tell him all the stories and stuff. And he was like, this is, like, some real-ass shit. But, like, one of the stories where it actually stuck out was, like, a 15-year-old girl that was actually abducted by two of these alien beings, right? Mm. She said one was really tall. One was, like, not too tall. But they both had full armor. They both were floating on the little disc device. And they took her. Like, they grabbed her, right? One of them grabbed her, like, by the body, the other one grabbed her by the legs, and then they flew her over to like a space where nobody was at. And then like what they did was they had, like she said, like she could see them, right? And then while they're holding her mouth, she can talk or nothing, one of the guys, like he had like some type of pack, he mixed up some shit where some type of chemical where they actually smeared it on her face, and as soon as like they smeared it on her face, her whole face got numb, so she couldn't feel nothing. And then she described like one of the guys, because the one thing that like she said that nobody else said in the interview, she said she heard their voices. So one of them was speaking English and then the other one was speaking Peruvian. So I was like, wait a minute. This might be some really high tech government project, right? It's not no right. alien entity. It's in their own government with high technology doing something with like the tribe people in Peru. So she said she heard one of them speaking English and then the other one speaking like in Peru. The Peruvian one was like, hey, like don't put too much on her face, it's gonna mess up her flesh, you know, because the white guy, he put on too much on the face, and the guy was like, the other guy's like, hey, chill, that's too much, it might mess it up, and it might be too hard to take off the face, because remember I told you, like in the 80s, they call these people face peelers because they would literally peel the face off of the whole skull. You know, you're looking like Scorpion and Fatality.
Oh, it's like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually got a video of that. It's crazy. And I found the video for you guys. But yeah, she said like as soon as like they put the numbing thing on her face, they took out like a 4-inch device with like a sharp blade or something, right? And they put it like under like her chin, and then she said they were trying to cut like the bottom of her chin open, but what she did, like she could still move, right? So she managed like to push like the head of these guys, and then like, you know, the hand came off her mouth, and she started screaming like as loud as she can to where the village people and her brother, they heard that shit. But as soon as like they heard that shit, like the brothers and the villagers, like they came towards them. And then, like, the villagers saw these guys, right? Like took off, right? But then the Peruvian guy was like, oh, the white guy was like, hey, we can't leave her like this. So the gringo, the white dude, was trying to pull her hair and then just drag her. And then they're like, no, we just got to drop her because there's too much people chasing us now. Yeah, so they saw them all like took off into the jungle. And then they left their body there. I have a video like after the event happened. And then they showed her. Hold on a minute. It's the second one.
Abduct a 15-year-old girl.
Okay, here's
the girl, whose name is Talia, was able to scream during the altercation with her assailants and was fortunately rescued by her brother and her neighbors, who came running to investigate the commotion. Talia sustained a laceration in her neck and was in a state of chemically induced disorientation for some time after the incident.
Shit.
Well, yeah, like you saw how like that burn look. It looks like a, you know, like a finger burn, like an outline of like a finger, but like a tool, like maybe it was like some type of like a searing tool or some shit like that.
Right.
But yeah, like with that video, that shit looks crazy, dude. And then
some got her. Shit.
Yeah, the guy Tim Alberino, he saw that. And stuff, and then he went to Peru to like interview her, and she didn't really want to like do the interview because the dude Tim looks like, she said he was like one of the tall guys that could be, you know, one of the guys that was taking advantage of her. So she was scared. She's like, hey, this guy actually looks like, you know, one of the alien entities and stuff. So I cut a video of that one showing him trying to do an interview and then her being like really shy about it with her TikTok shirt. And that's her dad trying to convince her to just do it. But yeah, so like eventually they did get the interview, but I didn't get the video. But I was just trying to show you guys how like messed up she was, to where she was hesitant like to even give an interview to like that dude Tim.
Yeah, she wasn't even talking. The dad was like, hey, say something.
The dad was like, hey, talk now, because our village needs help. Because the crazy thing about like this whole thing, right, the villagers, like, they're not like, you know, like the old school villagers where they have no technology. Like I was saying, like, they have access to everything that we have access to.
Yeah.
But they just live like in a village like that. So, like, you know, when they were dealing with all that stuff with the alien entities that would show up at night and basically like traumatize like the whole village, because they don't know who's gonna be captured next. And, you know, because the fear is that they're gonna be captured and then they're gonna peel their face off. So. Mm-hmm. The whole village, they're so scared. They ask like the government, hey, we need protection out here, like we need like security, we need the military out here watching like this place, because something's definitely going on that we can't even explain what's going on. Like, it's not normal. It's not like they're being attacked by like a lion or whatever, like something natural. Like, something unnatural is happening, and they can't explain it, but their people are getting messed up. They're getting their face peeled for this.
And people are like, yo, where the Men in Black at? where Will Smith?
Where's the help at? But then, like, when they found out, like, that girl, like, it was, like, like, they made, like, an official, like, abduction. But they didn't say, like, it was, like, an abduction by, like, aliens. But it was, like, an official abduction, to where they did actually get, like, the police involved. And the police actually came out there just to investigate like her abduction, but it wasn't to like protect the village or nothing. So the villagers, they're still vulnerable out there to get attacked and stuff. And also, like, you know how I was telling you, like, they had like armor, like black armor that's like really thick and stuff, right? Like, these these villagers out there, you know, they're out there carrying like these shotguns, right? 16 gauge mm-hmm. shotguns. And they actually, they shot one, and then they shot one dude, and then like they fell back on like the ground, right? But they weren't hurt though. And they didn't really like attack back. Like they just took off.
So the creature got hit, fell to the ground, and then ran off.
Yeah, like they got hit to the ground. Like, oh shit, these villagers are serious.
Yeah, they're like they all had like double barrel shotguns and some shit.
Yeah, like they felt it, and then like damn, maybe we can't come to this like Peru jungle no more. Mm. Like, you know, like if all this is true, right? I was starting to think like, what would be the reason why they would go to Peru in particular to mess with like these people? Like if they were gathering DNA or whatever, like what would be the reason why they would actually deface somebody, like take their whole face off?
Why
would they do that?
My thing is that it could be maybe they got some territory that they claimed centuries ago when these Peru people are getting too close to it, I guess, or something. If they're really aliens, you know what I'm saying? Maybe they're just trying to protect some type of territory over there, maybe a ship under the ground or something. Because like, it's like a mining area too, right, or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, maybe some of the mines they're protecting, them Peru people getting close, so they peeling off faces to leave messages or something. Because, I mean, peel off a face, that's taking some time. Something so grotesque like that is like to leave a message. If the stories are true, you know what I'm saying? Like that's something like, hey, don't come back around here or don't get too close or something.
Right. It could be something like that. Like maybe like they're in a territory where they actually don't want them to be there no more because they're doing something, you know, that's more like more high prioritized than having like villagers live there. Like, but they can't just say, hey, villagers, you got to move out because we got to do our shit.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than like move them out, they scare them.
Get them out of here. Hey, that's not the first time. That's just been done throughout many times in, if this is alien, but if this is a human doing this or whatever and try to push them off the land and they're posing as aliens, that this ain't the first time. Shit, the KKK used to do that shit in America. They should probably still do, running people off their land, and they're going to take it once they, you know, scare enough people up out of there. So
right, that's
maybe
like
some Scooby-Doo shit or some aliens are protecting some. That's my theory. Some aliens are protecting some, and humans, you know, they're getting too close to
it. Yeah, or like not even alien. Like, what I got, like, from, like, this whole story, like, the more I look into it, I don't think it's alien at all. I think it's our own government, along with the Peruvian government. I think they teamed up, right? And they're doing something under everybody's noses where, you know, like, I don't think they expect it to be caught, but they're actually doing like studies on humans for some reason in Peru. But I have a theory about why they're doing it in Peru. If you look in deeper, like with Peru, like with their whole alien contact stuff, right? They actually have like a lot of like compelling like UFO alien, you know, like intervention going on over there. Mm-hmm. Like it's really serious out there, like the whole alien stuff. Like it's a big deal in Peru. I started to think, what was that? That was me? My throat. But I started to think like Peru, like their bloodline might be the closest to like our most recent like ancient ancestors. Mm. Like the first bred.
Yeah.
I think their bloodline is the closest to the first, like the pure bred. So I think that's why, like, if they're doing like a project or something like with human DNA, I think they would go to Peru to get this pure bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
This is just my theory, because I was like, why would they be fucking with jungle people in Peru? It makes no sense, right?
Is it random? It don't sound random.
I don't think it's random. I think their bloodline is the most clean.
But to harvest those people.
Yeah, I think they're the most clean bloodline. Keep that shit in the family, you know?
And so, to this day, right now, the Royale. So what, to this day, like, so the government still hasn't intervened and checked it out? They're just kind of like, hey, you people are nuts, you know, whatever.
I think that's like the only thing like they can say is like, oh yeah, you guys are all nuts, people in jetpacks, chill.
If it was like one person they said that to, like, man, you just one person that saw it, whatever. But a whole area full of people that's saying the same thing, I mean, it should be definitely should be looked into for sure.
It's wild. And I actually have like footage of these military people actually coming across like somebody who has their face peeled. And I look far deep into YouTube to find this for you guys. So we're going to play that clip for you guys next.
I appreciate it.
And this is actually a video of somebody recording another cell phone because they don't know how to do it. But these are two police officials uncovering like a dead body, right? There is it's covered by banana leaves for you audio listeners.
You see a bunch of red, and is that the... Oh, that's the... What?
Yeah, that's a little banana leaf, right? He's about to pull the banana leaf off. This is an officer, by the way.
Oh, they definitely did. They did it.
Yeah, they're dead. This is not even for fun.
Body all bloated and shit.
You guys can check this video out on our YouTube. But look at the head. Look at the head. Watch.
Oh.
Look at that shit. It's like fucking fatality. Look, he trips up. But look at the head. You can see the hair, but the face is all clean, dude. Look how like clean the face is. All right, show the next picture. I have a picture of like a zoom up. Okay, this is what the face looked like. Isn't that crazy, dude?
Hey, clean that. Why is it so clean?
Dude. Whatever, like, that device, like, that girl, like, was talking about where they try to laser her face off. That might be the tool, like, they're using.
Yeah, I see some red on the picture on the right-hand side. I can see some red on that. So, it's like, probably where they made that cut at, like you said, around the neck. And then...
Yeah. Then if you think about it, right? Like, how you have, like, these cattle mutilations, like, where they would find these cows... But they would be like how they were being, I guess, mutilated. The cuts are all clean and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like no sign of, no drop of blood because they avoided every blood artery and shit. Like it's just a clean surgical cut. So that's what like that image actually reminds me of.
Yeah.
They're probably doing like to humans, like human, you know, whatever. They're messing with humans where people, they wouldn't really say nothing because it's almost like in a remote jungle indigenous area, but you know they still had access to technology. But still, like if people were to go missing in Peru in those certain areas, there wouldn't be chaos like that on the news, right?
Man, hell yeah.
Because like I guess people that lives like in remote areas like that, like they would completely go under the radar. Like if they went missing, they'd be like, oh, okay, they went missing. It wouldn't be a big deal
if it's going on like in Orange County or some shit, then yeah, they'd be like, oh, hit the alarm, but you know, you gotta go.
Gabby Papatito, whatever. Right? What's her name? Gabby Papatito, remember that shit?
Yeah, you know, you gotta be.
It was huge.
You gotta be a specific person. They wanna come out there and save you.
Yeah.
But these other places, but poor folks live at, they
ain't look a little cute, you know?
Right. Like, boop, boop, beep, doop.
Oh, she makes vlogs? We gotta find her. Oh, shit, her boyfriend killed her. I'm not trying to downplay that story either, but I'm just saying.
But like, I get what you're saying, though. No, I get it.
You pick and choose what you want to put on the news, you know? And I think, like, if you don't want anything to be in the news and you want to do some rowdy, weird shit, like messing with people, Peru is, like, a perfect place for you to do all the dabbling.
When's the last time anybody heard anything from Peru? Anybody wonder about Peru?
Nope. I heard they have a lot of wild psychedelics over there.
That's all I heard.
Yeah, and they have all the alien stuff over there. They have the Azteca lines over there, where you can see like when you fly over a helicopter, you see like these big old, like a big alien, like it's marked in the land.
What, like some crop circle type shit?
Yeah, they call it Azteca lines. I think that's how you say it.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, where they like you know they carve like a big image of like a. Like an ant or something. But you can only see it from space because it's so big.
Right, right.
But it's in Peru. And why were they doing that? To get attention of sky people.
Up there.
Hello, sky people. Then they fly down and just take their face off.
We took over the Earth.
Hello, sky people. But yeah, that's pretty much like most of the things I got. And like I was telling you, like my theory was that I think the Peruvians, like they have like an ancient bloodline. I think maybe it ties like to Atlantean bloodline where it's really pure. Yeah, that's my theory.
Like that,
it probably like, makes no sense. I have nothing to back that up. It's just a wild
theory. I was thinking about the dude Namor from the last Black Panther movie. He was like South American. He was Atlantean. He's the king of Atlantis.
Oh yeah. They did that shit. They're like with the fireball and shit.
Yeah, man.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so.
Well, that's it for that story. What we got next, Chris Unholy?
Not much. I gotta take a break right quick. Melissa keeps calling me. She's like, why aren't you guys on Twitch? I forgot to tell we's on Kick.
Yeah, you guys are not. You're not on Twitch. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. Be right back, guys. And we're back. All right, we're back with Chris Unholy. He's gonna be delivering us the next story for the night.
Chris Unholy. Hello.
Whoa, look at Proton in the back. Okay.
Proton.
Okay.
All right. Actually, before I do this next topic, have we ever talked? This what I'm about to ask you has nothing to do with anything with the topic I'm about to really talk about.
I like
but
this
a question. So you remember like sock 'em boppers with the big
sock 'em bop 'em
What do you call it, sock 'em boppers or soccer boppers?
Sock 'em bop 'em.
Sock 'em boppers, sock 'em boppers.
Yeah, soccer boppers.
Yeah, the soccer boppers, that's what you remember it?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Me and Melissa was like, watched the ad for that old school commercial the other day, and we were like, sock 'em boppers. We always thought it was called sock 'em boppers. What is that, soccer boppers? We're like, what the
Yeah, sock 'em boppers, right? So what is
it? It's called soccer boppers in this new timeline.
That's what I said, though, right?
Yeah, we used to call them like sock 'em boppers.
Sock 'em. Yeah.
Yeah, they're called soccer boppers. Soccer, S-O-C-K-E-R.
I remember boppers. The commercial. It was like sock 'em bopper, bop 'em. More fun than a pillow fight. Blow 'em up and put your hands inside. Get ready to have the time of your life.
Sock 'em boppers.
Sock 'em. Yeah, I remember.
But an ad came up the other day, and it said soccer boppers, an old school ad of it. We're like, has it always been soccer boppers? We're like, oh, that Mandela.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe it's just like we missed the pronunciation when we were kids.
They probably, like, sock 'em as a kid said soccer.
Yeah. Sock 'em.
But yeah, we were tripping about that the other day. I just had to ask that question because I was making sure we weren't going crazy over here. So
it might be a Mandela.
Might be. All right, not to the other topic. Let's get it. All right, so my main topic for tonight is going to be the immortal baby. So this story is going to focus on a guy named James Bernard Schaeffer and his Royal Fraternity of Master Metaphysicians. And what do you do with this immortal baby that they decide to take upon themselves to raise because they need a new leader going forward and they want this immortal baby to do it. Crazy shit. It makes no sense in the long run, but this is what the story. So this dude named James Bernard Schaeffer, and his early life is really much unknown, but he's born somewhere around 1896 in Fargo, North Dakota. He got like a medical degree from University of Michigan, yada yada yada, and he wound up getting metaphysics around that same time. So I looked this up, what metaphysics was, and metaphysics is a branch of philosophy centered around abstract concepts like being, time, space, cause, identity, knowing, and substance. At its heart, metaphysics is an abstract theory with zero basis in practical reality. Basically, it's just a study of reality and existence, including like death as well. And so that's what he wound up really getting into during his college days, just the philosophy of like how all this works and about positive energy and negative energy and all reality. Which is funny how he like got into the practice of positive energy and stuff, because James Bernard Schaeffer was also a racist. He actually was a member of the KKK back then, and he supported stuff like eugenics and shit, like how Nazis back in the day during World War II it was all into like eugenics. Like they would like take syringe needles and stick them into like Jewish people's eyes in concentration camps to try to change the color of their eyes from like blue like all types of shit he was into. He was into that type of stuff, eugenics, the super duper evil eugenics.
Yeah, the crazy thing about that, like, we're actually doing that activity like right now,
more high tech now,
with the whole like tech. The whole genetic modifications of like human DNA. Like, yeah. if you like, they didn't have to go to an extent where they took a syringe to make baby blue, the eyes blue. Like, you can actually rearrange it in within their DNA before the baby was actually even born for you to have a baby with blue eyes.
It's less messy.
Designer babies.
Yes, designer babies, exactly. Because when they was trying that shit during the concentration camps, during World War II, they were, like, blinding people by doing a syringe. And
it's so, like, fucking, like, barbaric the way they did stuff.
Yeah.
It's almost like 2 + 2 = 4, and we're going to do... If you want blue eyes, let's put blue dye in your eyes. Steve, I don't think it works like that, Hitler. Put that syringe away.
Honestly, as evil as that shit is, it did lead to other people like leapfrogging over that type of shit to now where we got like CRISPR and shit. So, I mean.
Right. It was like the birth of science, CRISPR.
So I think, I always think science on that level always starts off as evil on some level or some kind of inhumane. In order to it's got to start somewhere, it's sad to say. This is how science has to be, especially evil science like that, I guess.
I think, like, as far as, like, with cloning, I think that was always, like, a thing, like, in every like, big government, like, government of China, government of Russia, government of the U.S., I think they've been dabbling with cloning for a long time now, and they're still actually doing it. Yeah. I don't think that ever, like, went away. Like, they can probably like, say, like, the project was, like, dismissed, because, like, there was a time, like, I think, like, in the mid-90s where Clinton, he was saying... Like, they made a law to where it was illegal for you to take human DNA to use it, like, as a form of, like, cloning, like, an individual. They said that's illegal. You cannot do it. So, if they were to make a law like that, like, imagine what the stuff, like, they were actually doing back then, even before they said, hey, this is illegal. Like, what were they doing with all these human DNA to where they had to make a law to where... They made it illegal for anyone to even actually perform like a cloning procedure on a human being.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like unethical, like, hey, oh, because I know some people would be like, well, you're playing God. That's the first thing they say with science. Right. You're always playing God, which science is kind of like on that level. You are trying to control your own destiny through the elements that we have in our own, like, our own reality. You know, you can shit. They're trying to defy death by transferring heads to other people's bodies right now. So science is that kind of
human conscience and stuff.
Yeah, all that shit, man. So science is kind of like, you kind of, it's like we got the tools to play God, but we can never really reach God per se.
Yeah, that's so crazy, right?
Yeah, it's like we're given an option to play God and blow each other up.
Like,
and
humans don't even like live that long, but then like,
hell no.
Right? And then, like, a human that's born that's like, damn, I want to take this to, like, the next level, even though I might not even see, like, you know, like whatever he created in his own lifetime. But he wants something to happen like that. But yeah, you don't even live that long to even see it.
Right.
But now we're coming to the point where they're like, oh, yeah, like, human transferring consciousness is possible.
Them stacks.
You think we would ever be like alive long enough in our lifetime to see that actually happening?
Man, it'd probably be the tail end of our life. And if we can afford it, like, oh yeah, I'm about to clock out next week from this reality. Like, but they just came out with some stack technology, so I'm about to put my retirement all into that. I mean, I would want to be invulnerable. That's I think that's a curse more than it is a gift.
Yeah,
I don't want to see everybody get wiped out. I'm ready to check out when it's ready to go. I've already seen what this has to offer. Let's see what's next.
Yeah, then imagine they find out you're immortal. They put you in a damn coffin where you can't escape and put you in the ocean and let you drown for immortality.
Forever.
You drown. Every time you wake back up, you drown again.
Yeah, over and over. Yeah, we saw that in that Netflix movie. It was like Old Guard.
That scared the shit out of me. Like, hey, let's not do immortality. That's actually your worst nightmare.
Rather just die at that point. All right, so then, so like I was saying before, so James Schaefer, he was a racist, but he's a card carrying member of the Ku Klux Klan, and he's a supporter of a concept of eugenics. And so, with his Royal Fraternity of Master Metaphysicians, their beliefs were basically one of just like I was saying before, just like self, like it's like self positive thinking. And they believe, like, within that mindset, you can accomplish anything, including death. You can even beat death if you can just think positively. Mm. And So it's like, so it says one such belief was that meat, coffee, smoking, alcohol, spices, and condiments were bad for you. So this is all the rules of their cult. And I bet you the food there was shit because they didn't have no condiments on it and they didn't have no spices. So it was probably just bland ass like cheese and bread and water. So I don't know what they was eating there. It says each week members will receive a vegetarian dietary guideline from the messenger, which is what James Schaefer called himself. He called himself the messenger. So, which is like usually how cult leaders want to try to be like, look, I'm not above you guys. I'm one of y'all. I'm just delivering a word from big man upstairs. But in reality, yeah,
that's a good approach, right? As a cult leader.
Yeah, you don't want to be like, I'm better than you guys. But like, hey, I'm just a messenger. Like, just don't shoot me. And it says, the messenger said that he could read minds, cure any illness, and could dematerialize any person or thing that he wanted. So basically disintegrate anything. This is some made-up powers, like some kid shit. like you playing, like, tag or something as a kid. Like, oh, you can't touch me, force field. Like, it's like he was just making this shit up as he went along because it don't really make sense.
It may be working in the spirit world, but not in this physical reality with the... We vibrate like too damn. Our vibration's too dense, you know?
Too much, man. You
can't even walk through walls over here.
Right?
Meanwhile, in the spirit world, like, just, what walls? Like, we don't have walls here.
A wall, what? What is that? another core belief of the group was that all illness, mental and physical, and even death were caused by destructive thinking. Says the Royal Fraternity of Master Metaphysicians. I can't keep saying that shit. Firmly supported the idea that positive thoughts can also solve all problems in your life. So anything that's going on in your life, I think on some levels, if your bills ain't getting paid and you out of work and shit and, you know, rent's due, positive thing ain't going to get it done. You got to go to work.
You better concentrate harder. Get them bills paid. You better like fucking, what's his name? Professor X.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, concentrate harder. Get those bills paid.
But the landlord ain't gonna wait for no positive thoughts, man. You better fucking go pay.
Yeah, I don't think it works like that though. But I think like if you have like a like the mindset like to do like whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like even though how impossible it is, I think if you set your mind on that thing, the universe will help you. Like they will guide you. Like, all right, let's do what we can to help them achieve like whatever they set their mind to.
Yeah, as far as like positive thinking, I truly do believe, even on a mental level, because I even did this like some years ago and I was like, okay, I'm always having these type of thoughts. I need to start being more positive in my thinking. And it did change like how I felt towards a lot of things going forward with me personally, just by thinking more positive, having a little bit more hope and stuff. Because acting like everything is a damn drag is depressing. You're just kind of making like self-inflicting depression on yourself.
Right.
I do think positive thought is very important for your mental health, for sure. And what they're talking about in this cult, though, is that with positive thinking, you can defy death. So you'll see what I'm explaining when I'm talking about with this immortal baby. They're going to have this baby isolated from anything bad just so that it can have good thoughts and then grow up to be immortal. Because they think death only comes to anyone because of negative thoughts. And death comes to everybody, no matter what the fuck you are, where you rich, poor, happy, sad. But
you know what they say, though, right?
What's that?
Nobody ever really dies.
True.
The Neptune, man. Come on.
No one ever really dies. Yeah, no.
I think that's true, man. I don't think we ever actually really die, you know?
Nah, man. This is just a show.
Maybe we could have been dead a long time ago, but like in our whatever reality, we're still alive in that reality. We don't actually die, dude.
Just going through it. Oh,
canceled. Canceled.
I ain't going to test
you. You die, you're canceled.
I'm not going to test it, but yeah. Intrigues
it? We got intrigue out here on Kick.
Oh. Wait, I'm trying to read it. Let me get back to it.
Outliving all your friends and family sound miserable and lonely. It's that's horrible. Imagine outliving like everybody you love and everybody like you knew as a child. And then you grow up like just living a fake life and stuff. Starting a new family. Another fake life. And then watching your new kids die.
Old and die.
Watching your wife die, and then you date like every single culture. You learn every single culture, so you're like a master. Like what they call those guys?
You probably know every fighting style, because what do you got? You got all time in the world.
And you know all the fighting styles. You know how to talk to every person. You know how to build any career. You know how to make money. Like you're rich, but on the inside you're poor, because you're like, I don't want no more of this life.
I'm miserable. Fuck.
Yeah. Or you're just helping out a lot of people, you know, on the way. You're like, yeah, you try to get happy by helping people out, but then you realize, like, damn, like, what else is there? You already, like, maxed out Earth life. I'm done with Earth. Like, I did everything.
I'm at max level, man. This game plus mode ain't, this ain't shit.
Yeah, like, I literally planted a million trees.
Yeah, that was,
like, changed, like, the whole, like, the world is breathing different because of me.
I changed the whole planet, and then I'm still here.
I had 1,000 years to do all these good deeds, and I can't kill myself because I tried about a million times.
Many times, and I'm still trying. I'm trying tonight.
Tried every single drug, and then I try to make new drugs. then I think it comes to the point where, like, you just want to do bad. Now you want to see people do bad. Like, yeah. Maybe, like, it becomes like a game to where they say, like, all right, let's see if I can change this good person, this nun, and make her, like, the baddest chick on the block. Yeah. And it's like a nun. She's like in her, like, she's like 35, right?
A 35-year-old nun.
And I'm like, okay, I'm going to make her do bad things tonight because that's my goal now. I've been here for thousands of years. I'm going to make, like, somebody who's, like, so holy, live by the book, and I'm going to make them do something really bad. And that's going to be my goal. And then that's the beginning of, you know, people doing wild shit. Or, like, just this individual. Him, like, fucking shit up. Because why else, right? You live forever.
What else you got to do?
Mess it up.
That was, like, this story. It's like, it seems like a lot of fictional stories, too. We hear, like, immortal characters that exist. You always find out, like, they're bisexual. Cause, and it makes sense, too. Cause, like, man, you've been around this whole time. You liked who you like. Now I'm probably getting born. Maybe I'm going to try, like, some man butt or something. You know, you're a thousand.
I can see that. I can see that in, like, a regular lifetime, too, you know?
Yeah, regular lifetime. Yeah, like, I live long enough. Let me.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx.
What?
That's, who else? That's, like, suspicion. The dude that he knocked on Mariah Carey.
Nick Cannon.
Ask Nick Cannon.
P. Diddy. Women,
hey, these are all questionable. You know?
Even with all them kids? Actually, yeah, I don't mean shit.
Really those kids don't mean nothing, dude.
You can't take all. I bet you can't remember all them names.
No.
Because he got them weird kids' names, too. Like how celebrities do. They always get that weird, like, Sir Major or some shit. You know, weird astronaut. I think some celebrity named a kid astronaut one time. Weird.
Damn. NASA?
All right, let me get back to this right quick.
Astronaut ISS?
ISS? Hey, did you hear about they're trying to bring... Did you hear they're trying to bring that shit down? Like, not to sidetrack too much. They're trying to bring down the ISS in the next 7 years?
Like, why, though? Like,
I guess it's because they just... It's like, shit breaking, I guess. I guess it got, like, retire it, but... I'll talk about it next week. But yeah, I just saw a video about it the other day. Shell Shock sent it to me. They're gonna try to pull it from space in the next 7 years.
Yeah, they need some, like,
some new shit.
New technology, like 4K TVs in there.
Yeah, they're scared, you know, of my phone.
They need new tech because it's been up there like how long?
Could have been long, maybe like 15 years, maybe.
That's a bit long. Yeah, we need a new ISS like that's fully equipped with, you know. Automatic ramen noodle machine.
Some Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi. A real toilet.
Right.
With a bidet that...
With the bidet in space.
To gravity.
With a bidet in space, man. That water gonna be flowing everywhere.
So, like, what's with those, like, immortal babies?
Okay, so back to this. All right, so immortal babies. All right, so
they're off-track, like, big time.
Yeah, right? All right, says, members are required to pay dues called love offerings. Basically, they got scammed that these dues totaled to $250, which by today's standards is $4,000, and they were paid monthly. So back then, in the 1920s, when this cult was popping off, people that was in members had to pay the fee of $250 a month. But like I said, with inflation, today would be $4,000, which is fucking insane. So, not to mention, too, this is back in the 20s and the 30s, during, like, the Great Depression, and so... The fact that these people were able to spend money like this is kind of wild because everybody was broke at the time. So all these people, everybody's in the cult paying like these stupid fees, starting to stay in. And also James himself also had rumored to have like some women that he was messing around with on the side while he was running the cult, yada, yada, yada. So now we're going to fast forward to the immortal baby. So in 1939, when Schaefer announced to the public that the group was going to raise an immortal child. Now, this child, her name was Jean Gaunt. She was actually a baby, not like a toddler, but a baby. And she was actually selected by Schaefer to be like the future leader of this cult. Now, I don't have any idea why they picked this child. I try to look up, like, was this child like a special child with special blood, a special lineage or whatever?
What would be special blood?
I don't know, like adrenochrome or something. You know, I'm on that level. Like something in the baby that made them, like, that will make them want to be, like, that made Schaefer want to pick this baby as to be the candidate. I was trying to look up to see why he picked this baby, and I couldn't find anything at all.
You know, that was actually a setup.
What?
I thought you were going to say, your blood is special.
Oh, your blood is special.
Remember we had, like, this whole bit in the last one? How, like, you know, I gave blood, right? And they told me, like, I have special baby blood that's good for infants. And then we got into, like, this whole argument with Bob. And Bob was like, you don't got special blood. I'm like, bullshit. I got fucking special blood. You know, because Red Cross, they would call me, right?
Yeah.
And they told me about, like, my blood. They said, like, yeah, they said, like, my blood has something in it to where it's good for, like, infant babies. Mm. So, like, you know, I would help a lot of infant babies out, like, if they were, you know, having a crisis situation. So then, I didn't believe it, of course. Like, my spider was tingling or whatever, my spider senses. So, like, I knew somebody that worked at Red Cross, right? I called them up and I told them to look up, like, my blood in the whole data bank or whatever the information that they had.
Yeah.
And then, like, she looked up my blood and she was like, oh, yeah, like, your blood, it has, like these certain traits for it, like, to where it actually helps out, like, infant babies. I was like, it's true then.
What?
They didn't lie to me. So that's when I was like, I got a big head on my blood. And then when I talk about it, I was like, oh, yeah, I got special baby blood. But not, like, in the form of, like, adrenochrome, but, like, blood that help out infant babies.
Bob wasn't trying to hear it.
Yeah, of course Bob wasn't trying to hear that. She's like, no, you're not special. Like, stop. Get in the back of the line.
You ain't the chosen one.
Yeah, you're not special. Yeah, but I took mushrooms. They told me I was special. Then I was okay. I was like, I'm going to listen to myself now. Like, I don't listen to people no more.
Nobody. Man, believe
me. Yeah, like, you're not special. Like, get out of here. Who are you going to tell me how am I not special?
Right? Damn. Right? Want to shit on my parade.
For real? Like, what?
Let me have this.
If I was special, does it change your life, right? Let him be special.
I think we're all special in our own way.
We are all special. That's what everybody has to realize. Yes. Yeah, we're all special. You just got to realize it for yourself. Believe it yourself.
Self-love.
There it is. Yeah. It all starts with you.
Starts from here.
Mm-hmm. From the inside.
Right to my heart. I don't know if you can see it.
Yep. Right there. In the center chakra.
And then, okay, so back to this. So like I was saying before, there was no real specific reason why they picked Jean Gaunt. No real reason at all. Because at first I was like, well, is this going to be like a special kid or whatever? But no, they just picked the kid because their main agenda is not to find, like, the chosen one. Their main agenda is to, like, trigger something in somebody's body that causes them to be immortal. Hmm. Like, trigger that. Because they believe that, like, I'm assuming this is their belief, that they believe that everyone has a potential to have that immortality gene in them, but only if they avoid negative energy on the outside. And so, and the only way you can do that is if you start fresh with a baby, because a baby don't know shit.
Right.
Baby don't know nothing.
You can mold like them.
Yes, you have to shape and mold it. And that's how this, so that's why they went and got this baby gene. And they actually got the baby gene from this lady named Catherine Gaunt, who's actually this poor lady back then, who I'm assuming was probably going through some hard times. Because this is around not too long, this is around the same era too of, like, you know, the Great Depression and shit like that, where people was on hard times. And so she actually wound up giving her daughter up. Seemed like, because Catherine, the mother of Jean, the immortal baby, Catherine herself wasn't even a part of this cult. She was just some poor lady who couldn't afford to take care of this child. And so she basically gave her kid away to James Schaefer, the guy who runs the cult, gave her child. and he took the child and they took it back and tried to raise it as his own, along with the rest of the people of his cult. And for her to do that too is messed up, but at the same time too, it was really common back then. I watched a video not too long ago that showed like the Great Depression of how women and how women were on the streets like selling their kids because they couldn't afford to have the kids during the Great Depression. They were selling the kids for like $5 and shit.
Damn.
But it was all crazy time, man. A lot of kids got separated. A lot of homes were broken up because of the Great Depression. And so this is like one of the effects of that too. Another woman that was down on her luck and couldn't afford a kid. So
I mean, like when they like at that time, right, the Great Depression, when they did actually sold their kids. Like, are these kids actually going to like a loving family, or are they selling it to like people who's gonna use and abuse these children?
I'm pretty sure it's all of the above. Maybe some good families, but I feel like if you buy a kid off a street, I don't think that's a good family off top. That's just a weird. Like, imagine if you see somebody walking the street and just buy a baby for like $15. Like, they can't be up to no good,
right?
So I'm pretty sure they end up in a lot of shitty homes. I heard a story where three siblings were sold during the Great Depression by their mother. And there's a picture of it, too, online. It's actually a pretty famous story. And these three siblings got like separated because it's like, you know, they got sold to three different families. And they eventually wound up meeting up with each other years down the road when they was adults. And I think had kids of their own. But that was luckily they all came out okay out the situation. But I'm pretty sure they got trauma from, you know, having to be sold. But other than that, that's only good. That was not even a good story at all. But that's only like kind of good story. I'm pretty sure there's worse stories out there. What happened to them kids that got sold? So this lady Catherine, she wound up giving her kid up to this dude James and his metaphysician cult. And they had a mansion out in Long Beach. Long Island, New York. They had a mansion out there, and that's where they took care of the baby at. And so they took care of the baby, and the group actually planned that her mortality would be activated by never mentioning death or disease in the child's presence. She would not be exposed to a single bad or destructive thought, and only kind words would be spoken in her presence. So you kind of make this baby like pure, like untouched, like no profanity, no nothing. And she had her own personal nurse too, and that took care of her.
Interesting. Like, it caught my curiosity. Like, would actually, like, if you were to get like a newborn baby, right? Mm-hmm. And then they know nothing about death or the next life or nothing, right? All they know is living, like living forever. If you keep telling them, yeah, you're going to live forever, basically.
Yeah. You're going to live, yeah.
Right, and then like, let's say like this child actually outlive everybody, right? And then just keeps on living because the thought was never in their head, because that never even existed in their reality. Like, death wasn't even reality.
Yeah, like,
would that be something that breaks like our reality, like the Matrix?
Yeah, like the knowledge of death, kind of like, uh-oh, now that you know about it, now you got to experience it. Now what right. If you don't know?
It's like, for example, if you go to a doctor, right, and the doctor plants in your head and say, hey, you have cancer, right? And then next thing you know, you go straight this downhill road so fast,
pressure,
because of the idea of like cancer, and then you're already thinking like, oh shit, I have cancer now, and then all these negative thoughts, and then it makes you actually, you know, acquire like an aggressive cancer that makes you even die faster. And like, holy shit, after he went to the doctor, they said he got cancer, now he's just falling apart now.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what do you call it? Like, what's the word, the phrase? Like, when you don't know something, like
ignorance is bliss.
There you go. Ignorance is bliss. Man. But I'm not trying to say that to where like, oh, you shouldn't go to your doctor if you don't feel well or something. But I think like the idea of like you going to like somebody like a doctor, they can implant like stuff like, you know, not like purposely, but they could put like little seeds in your head to make you think like something is wrong with you. Like, hey, you could possibly have this. You could possibly have this. Or, hey, we detected like, you know, like something, you know, like a tumor or something, like it could be benign or it could be like cancerous. Like, we don't know yet. So.
Man,
like, they could plant a lot of seeds in you, like, or people that you hang out with, like, say, oh shit, like, oh, you have that shit on your arm, like, that could be blah blah blah, it could be AIDS,
right?
Straight up, it'd
be,
it's fuck like, them all up.
Right. Yeah, that's like for example, like, I know,
be careful who you talk to, you know
what?
Yeah, it's like, be careful who you talk to, like, they could plant any seeds in your head. to make you think you're crazy, but you're not crazy.
Right. Or you can play a seeds in your. Sometimes you can play a seeds in your head yourself, man.
Exactly.
I remember like 3 or 4 years ago, I had a friend of mine, same age as me at the time. He might pass away from a heart attack, like out of nowhere. Shit. I remember he had like heart issues. I remember he told me that back in the day, but he just like dropped dead, like at 32, 33 years old.
Damn.
And I remember it bothered me so much for like the next like couple years after that. I became like a hypochondriac, man. I was like looking up symptoms online, and it was making me so anxious, and it was draining myself. And I was like, I feel like I was losing my mind for like a little bit, because like as you get older, you start to face hey, this shit is gonna end eventually, and mortality is a real thing, and it's something that you just as a human you do have to, at on some level, you do have to recognize that this shit's going to end eventually. It doesn't last forever. But it seems like with their concept is like, can you really defeat death if you don't know it exists? And then you're not stressed out. Because stress kills, too. Stress is a,
high blood pressure. You look at it from a different like perspective, like defeating death, like defeating like what type of death? Like physical death, like as your body not being able to function no more?
I think it's more on that level, maybe. Or because... You can't die if you don't leave the room, because obviously your chance of leaving and traveling, your risk of surviving goes lower, I assume. But then again, they say statistically, you're more likely to die in your household than you are sometimes outside, like accidents falling.
Right, right.
So I don't know.
Here's what I read in a book, Dolores Cannon. She was saying at the moment of death, right? The reason why she knows all these stuff is she does like past life regression, which is when she put patients under like a hypnosis, right? And they're able to like talk about like a past life and stuff. So like she did all this like since like the 70s. So she gathered like thousands of stories of like people just talking about past lives, and then a lot of them like linked up like with each other, and then like. What was I saying? Okay. Oh, damn, I lost my train of thought.
Past lives linking up to each other?
Yeah, damn. Well, I was trying to make a point, man. I lost my point.
It's about death?
I really lost my point. Well, let's take a break. I gotta pee.
Okay.
all right. Okay, I got it. So, all right. Like, what I was saying was, like, what she was saying is, like, at the point of death, right, like, when you're about to die, like, let's say you're about to get hit by a car, right? Your soul actually get, like, if it's guaranteed that you're going to die, your soul is already ejected out of your body. You don't feel no pain. Like, you just die. Like, this body, this vehicle, it just dies. So you never actually feel the pain of dying. It's not, you're not actually, like, getting your head cut off or whatever. It's like, but if you are getting your head cut off, right? Your soul is already gone. Like whatever, your body's just experiencing it. Like you're already your soul moved on already. You're not gonna feel that pain.
Right.
And then like when I heard like that, I was like, okay, that makes it like a little more easier to think about like with death and stuff. Because I think a lot of people like when they fear death, I think the main thing they fear about, well, I can only speak for myself. I think the main thing I fear about is like the pain of death.
Man, yeah.
But you don't want to feel death, right?
Everybody wants something quick or medically induced. Like, if you're in a hospital and they give you medicines, like, help you that transition.
Yeah, they don't want a painful death. Like, ow, I can feel my throat getting cut.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. I ain't gonna lie, man. I'm like this, man. This is like this thing they just started, like, in, I don't know if it's like Norwegian or some Swedish part of the world or whatever, but they're doing, like, this whole, I think we're talking about, too, the, suicide assistant thing they're trying to do in hospital.
Assistant suicide.
For like people with like terminal, and it's like your ass ain't gonna make it, and they're giving you the offer like, hey, like it's gonna be a painful way to go out, so we can like, whenever you're ready, just fill out these forms, da da da, and these waivers and whatnot, and we can give you a nice comfortable way out. It's gonna be chemically induced. It's a lot better than dying from whatever the hell you got right now. And as far as right now, I don't think the U.S. is even going to try to pick up on that, because some people will be like, oh, it's not fair. You're kind of interfering with God's work. Whatever, man. If they ever get it, man, I got some trouble on this. Right. Then clock me out. Let me.
Exactly.
Cause I think the reason why they created that, too, and I forget the damn country, though. I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of those Swedish countries, right?
Norway or some shit, you know?
Yeah.
And they got it to where, like, also helps people, like, because the longer you sit in the hospital, there's medical expenses building up and shit, and your family going to be in debt. It's like, man, like, let me check them out.
Yeah, then, like, you're a burden to them and stuff. Like, right? I would love there to be, like a program or, like, a service where I can actually be, I call up and say, hey, I might want to die on Thursday. You know, like, hey, I'm done. Like, can you assist me on, like, leaving this world on Thursday anytime after 7 p.m., you know?
After,
you know, like, I want to see some stars a little bit.
After my show goes off, can I schedule it?
Right. It's like, if you're really, like, done, like, out, like, you're old, you're, well, not just old, but you're, like crippled or something, or like medically, like, to where you can't actually live your life the way you want to. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say, like, you like, I don't know, jumping off buildings, but you need your legs, but you don't have legs. Like, wouldn't that be like, damn, like, the world's just teasing me. I'm watching everybody jump off buildings and I'm stuck here like a vegetable.
Stuck.
All right. Like, wouldn't it be like, hey, can I clock out in the most cleanest way? Is there a service for me to clock out?
Yeah, like, I don't want to be messy. Just let it be, shoot some chemicals in me, knock me out.
Right, because what would be the difference, right, with somebody, like, sitting, like, as a vegetable, like, in the bed, can't do nothing. All they're being is kept alive, like, mm-hmm. by food through a pipe.
Yeah, and
like,
don't even
for
know
what?
Where
they
at.
That's torture.
Yeah, they're usually brain dead, too. Don't even know where they at. They ain't got no brain activity going on, which means they right. ain't thinking. They just kind of like, and wherever the spirit's at, it ain't here right now. It ain't functioning here, so right.
like,
they eat somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm sure their brain is, like, somewhere else, but, like, as far as, like, the physical body, your physical body cannot be used for, like, anything that you would want to be your body to be used as. So I think, like, if you were actually, like, to, like, induce, like, these patients, like, on, like, let me just go, like, kind of radical, like, on, like, a psychedelic trip, right, where they would actually see everything, like, oh, we actually know what's going on the other side, and we know where what happens when we die. I think that's why, like, there's a lot of programs where people who are, like, cancer patients and stuff, where they actually go to these clinics where they actually offer you, like, a psychedelic trip. It's kind of like a end life trip, like, to get right. them more comfortable with the idea of, like, they're about to pass on and stuff.
Yeah, because most people panic over that shit. I get it.
Yeah, I would say 90% people would panic about, hey, I'm about to die soon. It's scary, dude. Mm-hmm. Actually knowing, like, okay, what actually happens, like, when you clock out, like, what happens? Mm-hmm. That's scary, right?
You got the unknown, man. There's nothing scarier than unknown. There's nothing scarier than unknown.
There's a ghost in the side of the bed.
If we knew what was on the other side of this, I guarantee you more people would probably be reckless. A lot of people probably would stop being fake and being fake right. nice, be real.
So so everybody's not supposed to know about this.
Nah. Maybe it's the best kept. It's the best kept secret in the universe. We don't know what's after this.
Right. Like, yeah.
Maybe it's for the best.
It's the balance of it.
And maybe it's for the best too, because I would assume that if we all knew where we was going, people would probably adjust accordingly. Bless you. If they knew what was on the other side. More people probably start being nicer. Like, oh, man, all of this is just like heaven? Everybody goes to heaven? Oh, shit, I'm going to be a dick regardless. Like,
mm-hmm. maybe. Like Hitler.
You know what I'm saying? What if Hitler up there chilling with, like, St. Peter or some shit? You know what I'm saying?
Yo, he is.
They all.
I actually read a book about him.
What?
Well, like, not about him, but, like, people who has, like, past life regressions, and then people that actually spoke to him in the afterlife.
Yeah.
And they said they saw, like, Hitler. Like,
up in heaven.
I wouldn't say, like, up in heaven, but talking to, like, the man. Like, he went through a lot, and a lot of the things that, like, he went through, he said, like, the reason why he did a lot of the things is because, like, the people who was, like, surrounding him, like, it almost, like, made him do a lot of, like, the bad decisions. But, you know, it doesn't, like, you can't say, like, that. Like, he's still, like, at the time, right, in our reality, the dude, he did a lot of bad things. But, like, when he was in heaven, like, what I read was, like, he was going through, like, a lot of shit to where he felt like, it's like he went through everybody's like life that he made miserable, and he lived out like everybody's like a torment that he did on these people. So that's like his personal hell. Like he got to feel what it felt like to be tortured, to be whatever the hell he did to these people. He felt every single soul, you know, because if you think about it, right, if you affect these many souls, like your life, your own soul is going to go through like this crazy ass like soul session right when you pass. Like it's going to be a long time before you make it to like whatever, like a different vibration, because you're still working off like this debt. Yeah. For all the souls that you affected, right? So then if Hitler's going through all this shit, like he's probably still going through all this shit now. He's working through all this karma because he affected like a lot of people. Like you think about like your own life, right? If you think about like your whole life from when you're like 1 to 36, 38, whatever, 40, right? You think about how many souls you affect like in that lifetime. You think about it. You're like, okay, how many people did I like fuck up, or how many people did I screw over? How many people did I mess with? How many people, you know, like, you know, like whatever dirty things like you did to where you thought was fucked up. Like as an adult, like you look back like, oh yeah, that was fucked up. I should have never done that.
Right. Like, oh man, like, I should have killed all 6 million people.
Yeah, but I think like us, like I don't think we went to the extent of like whatever Hitler went through. We're not going through like the turmoil of like, oh, I did a whole genocide. I killed like all these people.
Man, we ain't nowhere near close to that, man. We do things like, oh man, my back. I didn't hold open the door for that girl behind me, and the door closed in the face. Oops. Like, I feel bad about it now.
I think we're towards like the end of like our soul, to where we're about to beat the game because we didn't collect like enough karma, right? Like we already like cleaned off our karma to where like we're not collecting more karma.
Man, no, we ain't
like, you know what I mean? Like like we didn't kill nobody. So we're like, okay, we're good. Like we ain't gotta deal with like feeling what that soul felt like.
Alright. I mean, we still got a lot of time ahead of us too.
We could still like do good. Like now, like since we don't have like that type of negative karma, like all, I think a lot of what we can do is help other people out.
Right.
Like what we can do, like to help somebody out, like instead of asking. I was going somewhere with this.
Again.
Yeah. All right. You just be good. Right. Yeah.
All right, let me wrap up this immortality baby story right quick. All right, this is the last bit. All right, so like I was saying before, so they kept the baby isolated from everyone except for like the nurses that took care of the child, Jean Gaunt. And while they took care of her, like I said, they kept isolated from everything bad so they could try this experimentation for, because it says basically they just surrounded her entire existence with positive vibes only. Which is funny coming from a guy that was in the KKK who started this shit. Very weird. I mean, damn, this man hates black people, but he get positive vibes. But anyways, anyways, Gene will only consume an all vegetarian meal, and it's called the Eternity Diet. It says that follows similar guidelines as those dietary recommendations members received weekly from Schaefer. So everybody was vegetarians in this cult, and they did the same thing with the baby. And it was called the Eternity Diet, only eating specific vegetations. And basically it's like, as she goes older, that she's going to be taught about these things too, about alcohol, tobacco, coffee, spices, tea, mustards, and vinegars, but she would never be able to consume them. So I guess they're going to put some type of knowledge in her to know like, hey, this is good, this is bad. Cause you can't be too ignorant about things, but you need to know some about things so you don't have to question it. So they try to implant all this stuff in her head. But anyways, this baby, immortal baby experiment they tried with Lil Jean only lasted for 15 months before the baby's mom was like, hey, I want my goddamn kid back. Because when she gave her kid up, there was no legal thing going on. There wasn't like no legal adoption thing. She just gave the kid up. It was like, hey, I can't have this kid. Da-da-da. And while he's been taking care of this kid this whole time, this dude, James Schaefer, he actually had a younger daughter himself as well, and he was taking care of baby Jean more than he was his own damn daughter. So that's why everybody was confused about it. It's like, well, if you're trying to look for an immortal being, why don't you choose your child?
Right.
Not you know, somebody else's random kid. So weird stuff, man. Nothing made sense of why he did what he did. But so the mother wound up going to court with it. She wound up winning her case, got her kid back. And last I heard of Baby Jean was back in like 2002, I think it was. And grown ass woman now, got kids, whatever. So this is like what, 21 years into, like later now from when the last time they heard from her. So she's definitely a grandmother, but now she's still alive. But with Baby Jean, she actually hid her identity. She wanted nobody to know about her past, everything. I think she might have changed her name too, because she didn't want nobody trying to track her down, think she's some immortal being, which she ain't. But yes, and so she's actually, I don't know if she's still alive right now, but last I heard from her, at least as far as the stuff I was looking for, was 2002. So she wound up living long. She didn't die or anything. She wasn't sacrificed. She was just being used to reach some type of level of immortality to carry on James Schaefer's legacy, I guess, and his cult. But so anyways, the Schaefer's actually wound up going through like a big ass like dispute in court. They got so bad that Schaefer and his wife actually committed suicide by carbon monoxide poisoning. They used like a vacuum cleaner hose and basically just put it through the floorboard of the car.
Damn.
And just,
like, you know,
from the exhaust pipe. They just killed themselves because they wound up going to, like, in a they wound up going to debt because there was like a lot of lawsuits coming out from the cult of accusations about what he was doing with people there. Or in fact, earlier when I was talking about all the money that it was donating to the cult, the $250 a month, which would equal up to $4,000 a month right now, 2023. A lot of people was like, man, like, I put all our money into this and then I ain't getting nothing back. Just hey, good luck. Thanks for helping this kid out.
That is crazy, dude.
Yeah, so a lot of these lawsuits came out and they couldn't dodge them all. They got wrecked. And so him and the wife wound up offing themselves with, like I said, carbon monoxide poisoning. And their suicide letter, they found a suicide letter from both of them, basically to their daughter saying, like, oops, sorry, we couldn't make it through this. So good luck. And so
that's the end of that cult, right?
Yeah, that was it for that cult. It kind of just eventually died off. It kind of just faded away.
What was the name of that cult?
Holy shit. The Royal Fraternity of Master Metaphysicians.
Damn.
So basically people that believe in reality as a whole and how to control reality through positive reinforcement and positive thinking. And if you avoid negative thinking, then it could lead to, like I said, immortality, which this is a baby experiment because I guess they probably tried.
It sounds about like what actually is going on, like with right now, with how the positive thinking of like your own self, you know, like everything, like you basically said, was it's what a lot of people are actually already doing, but you don't have to be in a cult to even know that stuff.
Do this shit at home for free.
for free. You don't have to fucking subscribe to nothing.
Right. You just gotta learn how to, like, I don't know, as I get older too, I have to learn this with myself too. When I get upset about things, I have to like weave through what is making me upset and then have to decipher where it's all coming from. Why am I feeling this way? And it does take work, man. And it doesn't take like days. It may take weeks, maybe a month for me to figure out what's wrong with me. But as I even though it kind of, it sucks for, like, you know, to go through depression or anything like that. To dig through the source, though, is actually therapeutic at some level, as long as you keep a level head and realize, like, okay, this is what I'm feeling, and it's not like, you know, I'm not angry with no one else or anything. It's just that I need to figure out how I'm feeling, and I'm kind of confused or conflicted about how I feel about some things. Maybe I'm, like, my anxiety or things that bother me. But, you know, it's sometimes you have to decipher things and break things down in your mind, and not everybody can do it. I'm not saying like the most positive thinking person on the planet, because I'm definitely not. I watch the news all the fucking time in politics. This shit's depressing. But as far as like self-care, I've moved better throughout the years of, like, you know, and I'm sure like a lot of people, they do too, as they get older. You kind of like manage your emotions a little bit more and kind of break down things of like, is this worth getting upset about? Like, worry about things you can control, like stuff like that. It helps with a little more positivity in the mind. So
that's just me. Yeah. Like most of it is, it starts with yourself. Like, you know, like, yeah, you know, like they say, like, you can't really help nobody. Like, they can only help themselves.
Real shit.
Which I believe that. But you can be, like, around, like, people that can, you know, they have the hand out there. Like, hey, like, if you want help, I can help you. You know, like, you could be, like, that gateway for, like, a lot of people. It's just they have to actually go out and get that help. But you could be the doorway.
Okay. If somebody ever needs you, be there for them.
Right, like just know, like there's help at the other side.
It is.
It's out but there. They eventually, like, of course, it always comes down to them. Like, if they need to get help, they have to be the one to be like, "Hey, I gotta go find some help." Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when they find, like, their close family, friends, like, hey, we can help you. That's a whole lot better than getting help from a random stranger on the street.
Right. I'll get my kid away, too.
Well, you want a DMT trip in the van? Good luck.
You want to get some real help?
Yeah, you'll probably invite more demons.
Right.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah, but that's it for my immortal baby story.
That's good. We're at like 1 hour, 40 minutes.
Yeah, I think we got two topics for tonight, man. I think we kind of filled up. I'll save my shit for next week.
Wait, you have another one?
No, I got some other little stories about Russia and the Ukraine shit.
Is it worth telling? Like, is it worth telling the story?
It's something crazy. It's something new. It's not like something out of a fucking movie. I can explain this one story.
Yo, right, tell quick. It. Tell it.
Real quick story.
Run it.
Where's my notes? Actually, I had a story about a town being overrun by rats. I'll say that for next week. That's crazy. Okay, this is a new story I just heard today. It says Putin sends cannibals to fight in Ukraine. Yes, so Putin is, you know, everybody knows about Russia-Ukraine shit. It's been going on for what? I don't even know. What, year and a half, 2 years now? I don't know. It's kind of been taking a background story in the news over the past year now, but it's still going on. Ukraine and Russia still fighting it out. But apparently, Putin has been releasing some of the most worst offenders in Russia to fight in this damn war, and all of them are now free right now because they fought in the war in Ukraine. So there's this group that he formed, or I guess like the Kremlin or the government that got going on out there called Storm Z. It's this group that Russia formed where they grab like serial killers and cannibals in this group, and they make them fight. They make them fight in the Ukraine war.
Is it like a fight club or something?
Like, no, like to fight as soldiers in the Ukraine war.
Holy shit, that's crazy.
To get their the pardon. And so far, the guys they've released are, these guys are like convicted. They were serving life sentences. They ate people, chopped people up. But he formed them into this group called Storm Z.
Holy shit!
Now, mind you, somebody's name was that
Storm Z.
Storm Z. Yeah, it's a pretty dope name. I'm not gonna lie.
These are people that actually ate people.
Yeah, these are like serial killers. These are like cannibals. Killers? And right now, all of that. And like they actually have fought in this Ukraine and Russia war right now. And these are the ones who actually got released on pardon. They're actually walking around free citizens. Russia,
that is not scary at all, huh?
Man, I was reading about this article I read earlier about it. It was talking about how some of the people over to Ukraine was like, "Good, that's what they get. We hope them fuckers eat all the Russians too." Like, holy, they was like, shit. Ukraine was like, "Yeah, that's what y'all get for like. We hope they turn on y'all because y'all just like sent serial killers after us in this special operations group, like Suicide Squad, to wipe us out." And now that they've done their duty, some of them got injured in combat and they got released back into the free world. And so they walking around Russia right now. Like, this dude named Sibiri Ralali. He's this guy who was sentenced to 22 years in prison. He's not a free man, who killed 4 people. And he had retreatment at a hospital and shit like that. But yeah, he killed 4 people, got sentenced to 22 years. Actually, a cannibal who killed 4 people and was sentenced to 22 years in prison. He's not a free man after receiving treatment at a hospital. Another guy named Goran, who posted videos of him posted online in his military uniform. He was part of Storm Z. He was actually convicted of murder and mutilation of a body in 2003, was released in 2010 on parole. And after he was released on parole in 2010, he killed 3 more people.
Jesus Christ.
And then was arrested again in 2012, where he sentenced to 22 years of prison. Prosecutors said that he ate the meat of one of his victims, and he was also part of this Storm Z group, and he's now also a free man in Russia, all because he was able to, actually, because he was given his offer to, like, hey, you can rot in prison for the rest of your life, or you can join the Storm Z group, you know, kill some Ukrainians, you get your freedom, we'll put you a part of a group with a like-minded psychopath like you, and you'll get your pardon. This is some real Suicide Squad shit. I'm not surprised. They did shit back in Vietnam, too, in America, where they got prisoners, like, hey, you want to fight Nam? Or do you want to stay in prison for the rest of your life? You got some charges on you. You're looking out all this time. And so they wind up getting prisoners to fight in Nam, too. So this is nothing new. This is new to me with serial killers, though. I didn't know they was really on some shit like that. They give a pardon to, like, another man who killed 2 young women. And then with friends, cooked and ate some of their organs in 2008. He was sent to fight Russia and returned to the war in Ukraine on November 2nd. So he's still out there fighting in the war. So he hasn't gotten his pardon yet, but he's fighting for that pardon. But yeah, they're just sending a bunch of serial killers now to Ukraine to off people. It's crazy shit.
Damn, that's scary. I don't know
what reality we're living in. It sounds like a movie.
Dude, that definitely sounds like a movie.
Yes.
That doesn't. It makes no sense. But I guess in this reality, it works to do something like that.
I get why too, because like war is like horrible, squeamish. People get blown up, shot, lose limbs. It's bloody. But if you get people who are like, some people going to war get too scared to pull the trigger because, you know, everybody talks that shit about wanting off somebody, but it's not like stepping on ants type shit. It's more like, hey, you about to take somebody out this world. And I think it's easier said than done. I mean, it's different from playing video games. But so if you get like some real actual killers out there that eat people, I can see them being more effective in combat. At least like that notion of fear of dying or they're being squeamish about killing somebody. You know, you got to.
They don't feel like they're numb to that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they eat people.
And they eat people! Like, fuck.
Come on.
So you ain't gotta feed them. They just go make a human burger.
Yeah, they're like, go kill him. And that's your meal.
Yep, that's like, you wanna eat, you gotta kill for it. They probably say some shit like that to him, man.
Yeah. That's crazy. Like, if somebody wasn't, like, driven by money, right? What would, like, as far as, like, the modern, like, society, if nobody was driven by money, like, what would drive people to do stuff?
The murder?
In your opinion.
I talk about, like the
to do anything.
Like,
to work. Like, well, let's say, like, you didn't get paid for working. Or let's say, you didn't get paid to do anything. Like, what would drive you to do, like, whatever you want to do, like, with, like, money.
You mean?
If you think about it like that, like, I guess money would be the construct of this whole reality, right?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah, for sure.
Well, not just, like, this reality, but, like, I guess our, like,
What we set as people.
Yeah, like, our...
The standards we set for it, because that money ain't really shit if you really break it down, man.
If you think about it like that, you take that one thing out the way, like... How different would reality be right now?
Would be a lot of greedy people. Would be a lot of evil people. People do shit for money, like unspeakable things. So,
yeah. Let's say like money is not even like a thing anymore. Like there's no value anymore.
Yeah, money is just a human concept. That's something we made. That shit could be.
Shit is so crazy.
I mean, we're already going digital, so actually the physical copy of money is on the go away anyways. I mean, a thousand years from now, it could be like bottle caps or some shit. It's all the value we give it. So, but a lot of evil comes with that value. But it's like an arbitrary thing we created to get, and gave it value, and now everybody's chasing it forever. Like, at least in our lifetime, you know?
Yeah. They gave like a little piece of metal like value from the beginning.
Yeah. Some shit like
a little gold. All right, if you dig more gold, you're going to get these croissants.
Mm-hmm. Like that.
Wagyu lamb meat.
What?
You know about Wagyu beef?
Wagner beef?
No, Wagyu.
No, what's that?
You know, like the high-quality Japanese beef?
Oh, the Kobe beef? Or
no, yeah, like it's like Kobe beef. But okay. They call it like Wagyu beef. And then to rate them like A1, A2, 3, 4, 5. What they like rate like you can actually go to Costco, get like a just like a regular steak piece, it'd be like over $100 because it's like a Wagyu grade beef A5 or whatever.
Yeah.
Because of all the fat marbling like within the cow's meat because like the cow was treated so well when it was alive. Like, they fed it all this good food, so it just got all the fat, like, in the body. Like, you know, it lived a good life, so it's a good fat piece of meat.
Hell yeah. And no injections. It ain't all beefed up. It's all natural.
Yeah, then,
got no Brazilian, has no Brazilian
butt. Save up your money to eat, like, a good piece of beef like that.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, are we good for today?
We should be good. I think we got enough.
We go back to Twitch next week.
Go back to Twitch next week.
Let's just go. It's the same.
Yeah.
I think Kick is the same.
No, I mean it's exactly the same. From some of the stuff I was looking at before we started the show, it is just no different. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, it's about the same. And
I don't know.
I don't even know how you get featured on this stuff.
I don't know. I maybe have to experiment with this, but. It seems the same thing, but it sets us back. It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing. So I don't know. It feels the same. Maybe we're the problem. Maybe. Think we gotta start the show off like showing our feet or something.
Yeah, right. Showing our butts. Feet and butts.
Yeah, get canceled at the same time.
Hey, good day. Get them OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. We're going to clock out for the day. Thank you guys for joining us for episode 163. We'll catch everybody next week. Peace out. Adios.
See you guys.